Final hour of the drive. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you as Dave is off till the new year. We talked a lot of football, a lot of NBA. We're going to stick with that as we're joined now by our USA Today slash K. I'm reading the copy. The USA Today slash KHTK NBA Insider brought to you by Stockton Honda. It's Sam Amick joining us on KHTK. Hey, Sam, no Dave today. I know you're very disappointed.
I got my fill of Dave yesterday. I gave him a call. I checked in, make sure he's not working too hard. As you guys know, I think he picked some amazing timing to check out. You know, it's not like there's anything going on.
Well, that was an awfully friendly move of you to check in with our guy. He's been living in a shed for the past couple days.
I know. That's the kind of friend I am. Happy holidays, guys.
Hey, you
Katie, I hope you're getting some sleep. I see you on Twitter. I see you on TV. Hear you on the radio, and I keep thinking about your sleep patterns and feeling bad for you.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it, but I'm figuring out a way to make it, so that's all that matters.
All right, very good.
Sam, we're going to start with the local yokels because they've won 4 out of 6, and DeMarcus Cousins has been losing his mind. Last night was kind of tough against Rudy Gobert, but you got the double nickel performance, you got the ejection slash unejection, and the common thread through a lot of these previous games is that Rudy Gay has been hurt, and I'm not going to say that, you know, is the team better without Rudy Gay, but functionally speaking, is this team a little bit more smooth when he's not on the floor?
Yeah, I think it's fair to analyze that a little bit. You see different versions of that all throughout the league, and I always talk about how it's one of the things I love about the game is that, you know, a lineup or an idea that might seem to make a ton of sense and you would think would be dominant might not be, and then sometimes you take a guy out of that puzzle and the team ends up performing well or even better. So, I mean, you look at Oklahoma City and, you know, are they better without Kevin Durant? Obviously not, but it's crazy that they're even somewhere close to the same pace this season that they were last season. And Russell Westbrook is on a whole different level. And so when a guy isn't there, then other guys fill that void. And when you have a guy like DeMarcus with, you know, the abilities that he has and the fact that, I mean, he's filling that void in a big way, especially 2 games ago. I mean, last night, you know, I thought was a big-time win for them. That's a tough back-to-back, and you're going into Utah with the altitude and a Jazz team that, that had just gotten smoked by the Warriors, had all kinds of incentive, had Derek Favors back in the lineup, and they go down big early, find a way to scratch and claw and fight their way back in and pull that thing out. That was a big-time win.
You know, when you look at everything that's kind of been going on with this Kings team in terms of different starting lineups, there's been guys that have been in and out of the rotation. Aaron Aflalo last night comes and really helps contribute to the Kings being able to get a win. Just what are you seeing, Sam, in terms of kind of how Dave Joerger is starting to come into maybe understanding his personnel a little better? Or do you just think he's one of those guys that he has more of a feel to the game approach where he'll put some guys out there, and if he gets a good feel of what they're doing, that's how he's going to go?
I mean, you always hear about Dave that it's definitely shades of the latter because of his long time coaching in the minor leagues and kind of the arc of his coaching career and the fact that the fact that even in the NBA, there's been some similar themes when his teams were so injury prone and, you know, injury battled like last year in Memphis that he had to just mix and match with lineups all the time. And so that's always a part of his repertoire is making it work. And I think the thing he has to sometimes be careful of and deal with is that, you know, and this is not unique to him at all, but the fact that these guys are obviously humans and they're prone to wanting a certain comfort level with their role. Aaron, you know, certainly I think it's fair to say that there was some angst recently with him and his role. And next thing you know, a lot of people are surprised that last 2 games he's getting big minutes after, you know, and I just looked it up here. I mean, he played combined 25 minutes in the previous 7 games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a big time change. But, you know, it's Dave's finding his way and those rotations are never easy. And, you know, but he's found a few positive things these last couple games.
Sam, I think I know the answer to this, but why is it that DeMarcus Cousins can't have a good game without national media outsiders demanding that he be traded and saved from the Kings?
a good question, Nate. I mean, that's just par for the course. I mean, that was there, you know, every guy, although I was going to act like it was par for the course, but the one other similar thing is that it is typically small markets that, you know, that narrative gets attached to, you know, Kevin Love in Minnesota, Chris Paul in New Orleans. So
Anthony Davis, even this year.
Yeah. Anthony Davis this year. But I will say that in relation to the Kings, I think it's fair from this standpoint, you know, as much as, I mean, I've been real critical of DeMarcus at different times, certainly these last couple of days, as far as the media stuff, but the Kings, like the part that should not be forgotten in the conversation is that the Kings and, you know, the different mismanagement that's gone on and the draft stuff that you look at the track record and they just have not gotten a lot out of the draft. That's the stuff that I think nationally inspires people to say, get him out of there. Because if you, you know, if you want to see him at his best and you think he's going to find his way into the playoffs and compete on a higher level, you know, then you're going to look at the organization that employs him. And, you know, and then as you guys know, it's, you know, their reputation has been pretty bad the last couple of years. So I think that's the driving force, which is not necessarily just anything personal with Sacramento. It's just a case of, you know, could he succeed more in a different environment?
You know, it's interesting to me, Sam, because obviously we all know the narrative on DeMarcus Cousins. And it's, yeah, he's a phenomenal player, but can you win with him? Does it have to do with the organization? Blah, 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 so on and so forth. But you look at kind of what's going on in Oklahoma City right now, and Russell Westbrook, he loses Kevin Durant. It's kind of a one-man show, and he's putting up massive numbers. But is this kind of an argument of like, yeah, you can have a superstar caliber player, but until, you know, front office ownership figure out a way to put some help around, all they're going to put up for you is numbers and that's it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and as much fun as it was to see DeMarcus do what he did the other night, and it obviously it wasn't even just the scoring, 13 boards, 3 blocks, you know, hitting threes. I mean, that was crazy. It's kind of like with Russ, you can only expect so much and you've got to get help around him. And now the Thunder, they have fantastic management and people certainly, I think until, you know, the end of my time covering this league are going to continue debating some of the major moves they made, trading James Harden and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they have a great reputation and they have a pretty amazing track record with the draft. And so, you know, if you want to even look at those two scenarios, I'd say they're pretty far ahead of the curve. They've got the third youngest team in the NBA and a bunch of young players with ceilings that, you know, Steven Adams continues to get better. Enes Kanter continues to get better. Even Andre Robertson, you know, elite defender. So that's the problem in Sac is that, you know, unfortunately it's like, all right, Willie Cauley-Stein's gotten better. He had, I thought, really a few nice moments last night, but it's been, for the most part, slow going. Ben McLemore has, you know, been it's certainly just not the player that they were hoping coming out. And then if you go farther back, you know, it's the Thomas Robinsons and Jimmer Fredettes and there's kind of a draft graveyard, so to speak, and that just certainly has not helped our cause.
Sam Amick, you know him from USA Today, but he's of course our KHTK NBA insider presented by Stockton Honda. You talk about that Thunder team. I can't remember if I've actually asked you this before, but I know I've brought it up to some people. Why is it that other than he's playing in a much deeper conference, why can't Russell Westbrook be a better version of what Allen Iverson used to do with those Sixer teams?
In terms of just completely putting them on his back and getting all the way to the finals?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I'd almost want to go kind of do a refresher course on that those Sixers rosters, Nate. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, role players that maybe we forget about for some reason. I don't know why the first guy that comes to mind is Matt Geiger. I think he's probably be longer and deeper down the list. I think there was a lot
Eric
better
Snow,
teammates.
George Lynch was on that team for a while.
Yeah, I mean, but Eric Snow's, you know, it's like that was like his co-star for a while, which is a sign that, you know, he didn't have it that much better than Russ. I think Allen, you know, as great as he was, Allen was never the playmaker that Russ is. So I like the question. I don't know if it means there's just more competition in the East these days than there was then. Again, having not studied it, you know, I don't know. Yeah. But Russ is doing everything he can do. And, you know, the West is tough. And I went, I know we talked last week, but I forget if we got into it very much or not. But I went to Portland and Utah essentially with the objective of jumping on the Russell Westbrook train. And at that time, they were playing great. And so I just thought I would try to capture what was going on with him and them. Well, then it was like the two worst days of their season. They lost both games. Russ was bad. I kind of got the other side of it, where part of it was Victor Oladipo was out and still out with that wrist injury. And they have a really hard time scoring when Victor's not on the floor, because, you know, obviously defenses can collapse on Russ and it just doesn't function nearly as well. So they are like, they're up against it every day when it comes to the red line and that idea of being able to do what they need to do to pull off the W, or looking really bad like they did in both Portland and Utah, but Portland was bad. I mean, they were up like 10 at one point early. Russ takes a quick breather, and next thing you know, I think it was like a 20-5 Blazers run. I mean, that's life without a lot of help.
And it's interesting, too, because I'm really curious about the Blazers. You know, the fact that that happened to OKC against the Blazers. This is a team that can score and put up a ton of numbers, but they absolutely do not stop anybody. How successful can they be in the Western Conference without even a semblance of defense?
They can't. I mean, it's not a good look. It's crazy, guys, how in the NBA, and this is universal, like how quickly narratives can change. And that, I mean, and I'm not even trying to be funny, like that should make Kings fans feel good, because as you know, yeah. I mean, seriously, as much as it seems like it's always going to be one way, we see all the time these narratives change really quickly. So the Blazers, you know, one of the hottest young teams in the West, Damian Lillard, tremendous player. They're on their way. They beat the Clippers. And I think a lot of people are starting to come to, and that was in the first round of the playoffs last year. A lot of people are now coming to the conclusion that they, you know, if you're talking gambling analogies, they put too many chips in. They thought too highly of their hand, and they went out and they signed Evan Turner and gave him a ton of money. And I don't know, Alan Crabb, another monstrous contract, and they tied up a lot of their money. And so, by and large, this is what they are. And, you know, I think the part they kind of gloss over is that, well, you beat the Clippers, but Chris Paul and Blake Griffin both got hurt on the same day, you know, four games into that series. And I don't know where they go from here. Evan Turner was supposed to help them defensively because he'd been really good in Boston on that end of the floor. And it's a bad place to be. And Neil O'Shea, their GM, you hear rumblings that maybe, you know, he's got a lot of pressure around him now because, you know, is there a ceiling there where you've got all your money tied up and you're going to be nothing more than an 8 seed or a 7 seed?
Sam, at this point, I mean, there's, you know, tons of basketball left, but have you seen anyone in either conference that could dethrone the Warriors or the Cavs?
I mean, I'm never, ever betting against the Spurs, and that's not even really just a platitude or a cliche.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, you know, one of my favorite experiences covering the league was having being able to cover the finals in those back-to-back years when it was Miami and the Spurs, and seeing San Antonio pull that off, and seeing, you know, that their chemistry and their cohesion and their culture, and Pop leading the way, you know, they still have strong shades of that with this group. Now defensively, things, they're really good defensively this year, but it's a little more nuanced and tricky with Pau Gasol. A lot of people saying that, you know, in the playoffs, you can't play Pau and LaMarcus Aldridge together because defensively you're going to get killed. So they have stuff to figure out, but I'd say probably San Antonio. I mean, the Clippers obviously got off to a great start, but you know, now they got no Blake Griffin for 3 to 6 weeks with the knee injury. So I'd say San Antonio. And the funny thing about the Cavs is that they definitely deserve, you know, the respect that comes with being the champs. But if you're just being objective and looking at them to this point in the season, I mean, they're far from invincible. I mean, defensively, they're like 17th in the league right now. And they just lose J.R. Smith for a long time with his injury. So I think the Cavs in the here and the now are pretty human.
You know, as we're getting close to the end of the calendar year right now, Sam, all that means is that, you know, trade talks, things are going to start heating up. Is there anything that is kind of on your radar that might actually be happening kind of coming in the next month or so?
No, we'll see. I mean, I wish I had some good dirt to dish, Katie. I think a lot of focus on the DeMarcus stuff, but certainly, you know, certainly entirely possible, if not probable, that he stays, you know, with the Kings after the deadline. I think a lot of people feel like if anything was going to happen, might be this summer, and then they've got a heck of a bridge to cross when they got to decide what to do regarding that Supermax extension that he'll be up for. Mm-hmm. So a lot of focus on the local team. You know, even a lot of focus on Rudy Gay as a potential game changer somewhere else. You know, the one little tidbit that I thought was interesting is it had been reported that the Thunder had a lot of interest in Rudy. And what I would like to get to the bottom of is somebody who is close to it had told me recently that it was worth noting that, and I had reported this, that Rudy changed agencies and now went to Roc Nation Sports, which is the same agency that represents Kevin Durant. And that it was almost like things were so raw and so personal with the Thunder and Kevin Durant that, you know, basically the idea that might have minimized the chances of Rudy going to OKC based on that alone. That might sound kind of funny and petty, but, you know, those kinds of politics do come into play, you know, with the Thunder essentially saying, you know, we got a bad taste in our mouth from how that agency handled Durant leaving town. So, you know, we don't want Rudy anymore. I don't know if that is the case, but it's kind of worth noting. So it'll heat up. I mean, the CBA getting done was big because all these GMs wanted to know exactly what the landscape looked like. There's a lot of changes, a lot of stuff that they had to learn about and take into account going forward. So obviously we still got about 2 months left. So, you know, we'll have a lot of chatter.
Do you think that given some of the recent injuries and stuff for maybe even teams in the playoff contention right now, and maybe even in championship contention, that they're going to have to make some moves just based on some injury issues?
Yeah. In fact, one that I had some conversations about yesterday, like we talked about the Cavs and the J.R. Smith situation. It sounds like there's a little bit of a push and pull within the Cavs. And I'm trying to remember this correctly where, you know, the management, I believe, is looking for a perimeter defender, somebody. And I think, you know, they knew that JR's injury was not good. So that seems to be the focal point on the management side. And then there's but some chatter that LeBron wants another ball handler to lighten the load with him and Kyrie, and that's his focus.
No.
What's that, Katie?
Sorry, I was talking back to Matt. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. No worries. So, I mean, that's something to watch. And that's not that unique where, you know, everybody's got an opinion, especially when you're LeBron James, you're going to be able to weigh in. So I'm curious to see if they do something. And, you know, and if they do, you know, you'll kind of know who won in that little debate internally. So, I mean, Cleveland is looking around. The Warriors are the ones that are interesting because early on when their defense wasn't as good as we thought it, you know, or as good as it was the last couple of years, I thought they were going to go shopping for a rim stopper, a rim defender, you know, and a big on that end to help them with losing Andrew Bogut, but they've figured it out. They're second in the NBA in defense right now. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they stand pat because they seem to have a pretty good formula.
Yeah. It's interesting. Something about that squad tends to figure it out. Sam, we appreciate you taking the time today, you know, presented by Stockton Honda, of course, but, you know, taking this time on a day before you started, I don't know, Christmas break or something like that. Whatever, Sam, we like having you, man. And have a Merry Christmas and a happy
Nate
holiday.
Nate is like,
and I'm checked, man.
Dude, Sam, Nate is off. Sorry, we're done for tomorrow. You know, starting tomorrow, we're off for the break, and then he's off next week. So, man, thanks for sticking with us with Nate just already 1 foot out the door.
Man, Katie, you're the only one working around here. What's going on? Man.
I know. What's going on with that?
Valedictorian over there getting a job.
Oh, hush.
Sam,
guys,
we appreciate
have a great holiday.
You too.
No,
thank you
sure.
so much.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye-bye. Sam Amick. Stockton Honda is Northern California's fastest-growing Honda dealer. Get your 15-minute trade-in appraisal at StocktonHonda.com. NHL.com. All right. Well, hey, Katie, what's up, man?
You did it, Nate.
I know. I guess you got to try to help me out here. Just try to say goodbye. I hate goodbyes. That's what it is.
Oh, is that what it is? You get all tore up about goodbyes. I think things are going to start to get really interesting in the NBA coming up really soon because I don't know. I felt like there was an above average amount of chatter even coming with the December 15th kind of deadline of where people that were acquired during the offseason could start to be, you know, traded. And when it comes to the Kings, and it's the same for all teams that are struggling to kind of get back to, you know, being a playoff team, being a winning team, you're always going to have trade chatter. But I just have this feeling that something is going to happen with this team, whether or not, you know, it's Rudy Gay or what, there's going to be something that happens. I feel this trade deadline, shall I say.
Yeah, it could be a lot of teams, too. I mean, the bar has been set so high in both conferences that I think you've got teams that they're kind of scrambling to figure out how they're going to even compete and try to find a spot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good stuff from Sam there. And when we come back, we'll have Ken Rudolph and then a little bit of a year in review on this show to close it out. You'll want to stick around for that because we're idiots and we've got the audio to prove it. This is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.